Say, Lord Jesus, I have eyes and they see very well. I have ears. They hear very well. And I have a heart. And it does perceive. You're on my case. Hallelujah. And we're going to do this together. Amen. I'm going to kind of share what he did with me this morning. And I'll let go of the time slot because I don't think the timing is important. What's important is how he presents himself to confirm. I just got done reading yesterday, Driven by Eternity by John Bevere. And there's a lot of scripture in this book. There's probably, 200 and something pages. Or, 285 pages. What I'm saying is that he brings out a piece of the gospel that concerns the fear of the Lord. And being accountable for, you know, making sure that we as a church are not falling short. So there's an anniversary today, actually happening tomorrow. It's 41 years tomorrow that the Children of Light prayer group started in a little corner of a basement at St. Anne's Church in Three Rivers, Massachusetts. And Mary back there was part of the worship team. And at that time she played the guitar and sang. I don't know what happened, but we'll just leave that with the Lord. I can tell you that my experience in the Roman system was a lot of fear of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And it wasn't tempered by love.
Amen.
It wasn't balanced. But that's also part of God's plan. He kind of changes us as we walk along in our quest to obey him. So the scripture that I read this morning is in Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, and I'm going to give you the verse that really hit home is verse 24. So there's a lot involved in here, and I don't want to go into a lot of details, but I was trying to show you what he was working on me with to get a balanced picture. Verse 24 says, "And they will go out and look upon the dead bodies of those who rebelled against me." This is the Lord speaking. "Their worms will not die, nor will their fire be quenched, and they will be loathsome to all mankind." You say, well, what are you up to? Well, I'm up to trying to tell you that from my perspective, this is a prophetic word about the day of the Lord. And if you were to back it up, you'd find that judgment and hope is part of the commentary on this particular chapter. And it's speaking about what the Lord does with those that are obedient to him and then those that have rebelled. But a lot of times we forget the reality that God is not trying to destroy us. He's trying to awaken us that hell is real.
Amen.
And those who think that it's never going to happen to them because they're good people have got a wake-up call. There is a reality to hell that down the road it will be visible to the saints. And it will be something that will happen on a regular basis. Verse 22 of that same chapter says, as the new heavens and the new earth that I make will endure before me, declares the Lord, so will your name and descendants endure. From one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all mankind will come and bow down before me, says the Lord. Notice it says all mankind, not a few. Mm-hmm. Got it? And they will go out and look upon the dead bodies of those who rebelled against me. So that means there's going to be an open reality of heaven and hell visible for eternity. And the worms won't die and the fire won't lit up. So those who don't know the Lord need prayer. And they need intercession. Because after I read the book, I said, Lord, what do you want me to share, if anything, with the people on this particular book? And he said to me, page 67. That's how he works with me when he works with a book. Mm-hmm. Page 67. So I want you to declare, say, God.
God.
I know my ears are working good.
I know my ears are working good.
And so are my eyes and heart.
And so are my eyes and heart.
So this word is for me.
So this word is for me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is a quote from Luke chapter 16 that this man is actually giving. And it says, Scripture tells us hell is a real place, not figurative, as our society has endeavored to promote. In Numbers 16, the earth opened up and three families were physically swallowed into Sheol before a multitude of witnesses. In the New Testament, we are told concerning the Antichrist and his false prophets. Both of them were hurled alive into a fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. Revelations 19, verse 20. They didn't die with just their souls. I'm sorry. They didn't die with just their souls taken to this place. Rather, their physical bodies and souls were cast into the lake of fire. Now, that's pretty scary. But listen to the words of our Lord. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells us of an actual incident involving a rich man who lived entirely for himself, neglecting a beggar daily laid before his house. We know this is not a parable because Jesus opens the story with, there was a certain rich man. Second, he used Abraham's name and gives a specific name to the beggar, Lazarus. It was not customary for Jesus to give names and mention actual people in his parables. Lazarus died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom, which was the holding area to comfort for the Old Testament saints until Jesus made the way for them to come into the presence of God in heaven. The rich man died and found himself in Hades, we read. And in Hades, where he was in great pain, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus at his side. So he called out, Father Abraham, take pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip his fingers in some water and cool off my tongue, because I am in great pain in this fire. Luke 16, verse 23 and 24. Notice that the rich man was in great pain. Other translations use the word agony, anguish, and torment. In other words, the suffering was very great. Hell is a place of conscious torment. Also notice that the man recognized Abraham as well as Lazarus, and they could also recognize him. People are very much human beings in hell, and they will have their reasoning faculties and their emotions, their wills, physical features and senses. This man could see, could hear, and could feel pain. They also have some form of flesh, You can see the rich man's intense desire just to have his tongue cooled. Jesus says that both body and soul are eternally destroyed in hell. See Matthew 10, verse 28. In other words, people's flesh will be continuously afflicted and marred by its fires and worms. Also notice that the rich man was pleading for mercy, just like those who were begging for mercy in the dungeons of Lone in a story. Hell is a place of no escape. It's part of the deal that goes forever. There is nobody who will ever come from the outside to comfort its inhabitants, even though such relief is greatly longed for. It also seems this reality never completely sinks in. Abraham has to remind the rich man, there is a great chasm separating us, anyone who wanted to cross over to you from here to bring comfort is stopped at its edge, and no one there can cross over to us. Luke 16:26. I know an individual who experienced hell and later reported that everyone he saw cried out that it was too much to bear. This is exactly what you hear this rich man crying out in the above verse. Abraham said, remember, my son, that in your lifetime you were given all the good things, while Lazarus got all the bad things. But now he is enjoying himself here while you are in pain. The rich man said, then I beg you, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my father's house, where I have five brothers. Let him go and warn them so that they at least will not come to this place of pain. Luke 16. You've heard of the old saying, misery loves company. Why doesn't it apply here? And this part was excellent for me because I heard these things before from people, and they really believe what they're saying and advertising. Why didn't the rich man want others there with him? The answer is that in hell, there is no companionship or fellowship. Some think that there will be parties in hell. Others think they will enjoy their friends. If that were so, the rich man would have wanted all his close comrades to join him. But he was desperate to see that they would not come to this place of torment. Hell is a place of utter loneliness and hopelessness. It is also a place of eternal remembrance, which I personally believe is one of the greatest torments. Hear now how Abraham responds to the man's pleas for his brothers. Abraham said, your brothers have Moses and the prophets to warn them. Your brothers should listen to what they say. The rich man answered, that is not enough, Father Abraham. But if someone were to rise from the dead and go to them, then they would turn from their sins. Here's the wisdom of Abraham. And he responds, if they will not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone were to rise from death. Luke 16:29 and 31. There is such a powerful truth conveyed here. Many would like extraordinary experiences to prove to themselves or others the validity of the gospel. Yet Jesus shows us nothing is greater than the Word of God. To produce the belief it takes to follow God completely to the end. Don't misunderstand me. Most who witness the supernatural would be startled and changed for a short while. But they would not be permanently convinced in their hearts by these experiences. When I was a teenager, a profane young man and party animal My dad took me to see the movie, The Ten Commandments, starring Charlton Heston. I vividly remember fixing my eyes on the huge screen with the earth opened up and swallowed the people into hell. It shocked me tremendously. I walked out of that theater and my life was changed. I straightened up and walked differently for about a week, only to return to my old ways. Why? Because I hadn't heard the word of God, repent of my ways, and committed my life completely to Jesus in order for his grace to change me. My friend, if I had other extraordinary experiences that shook me as well, but I wasn't changed by any supernatural experience. It wasn't until one college fraternity brother came to my room and presented the word of God and the good news to me personally, etc. What am I saying? I'm saying to you that when I reread this word this morning, again, the worms will not die. The fire will not be quenched. You know, it's a responsibility that we all have, that when someone tells us, I'm going to go to hell because all my friends are going, you know what? I've heard those kind of comments. And there have been a few times where I said something. But the majority of the time, I know it's useless. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
You're just wasting your energy. However, one prayer out of your spirit man can change and intercede for that broken person.
Amen.
And you can be the catalyst for them to have some kind of an experience that they will awaken and search for the Most High God. And you might be the individual at some point to lead them with the good news that Jesus died for your sin. And to really hold their hand and pray with them. So, my message to you is this. Don't despair about the reality of hell. Because you're not going there. But what you are responsible for is to awaken in those that are going in that direction,
yes.
To pray for them, to intercede for them, and to ask the Holy Spirit to choose the right individual that will lead them to Christ. You may not be the individual, but your prayer and your intercession is absolutely necessary. So would you do me a favor and close your eyes and lift your hands, or at least one hand, to the Lord? And say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I heard this word.
I heard this word.
And I heard what happens.
And I heard what happens.
When hell is in full sway. Right now it's still practicing. And it's not visible to many. But it will be someday. So I'm asking you now. For the grace and the courage.
For the grace and the courage.
To intercede for the broken.
To intercede for the broken.
That are heading into hell.
That are heading into hell.
And they have no clue.
And they have no clue.
Because they are.
Because they are.
Unaware.
Unaware.
That it's filled.
That it's filled.
With lonely people.
With lonely people.
Not one big party.
Not one big party.
With drugs and sex.
With drugs and sex.
And whatever else they want to use.
And whatever else.
Because they're trying to escape the pain
of their own brokenness.
So let it be
me
interceding for them
so that they
will have an opportunity
to spend eternity
in heaven with me. Hallelujah. Got it. So, now you need to share some hugs with each other. Just know that we love you. And you can't go to heaven without us. It's not going to happen. It's going to be the place of where there's real parties.
Amen.
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 And blessings to all.